Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Burial, shrouding, and bathing. When the companions gathered to bathe the blessed body of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the question arose as to whether the clothing should be removed or not. A discussion has not yet been reached when suddenly they all became induced in drowsiness all at once, and then they heard the voice from the unseen. Do not remove the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's clothes, wash him as he is. The blessed body was therefore washed with the clothes on but removed afterwards. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala washed the body. Sayyidina Abbas and his two sons, Sayyidina Fadl and Sayyidina Qatam radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, turned the blessed body on its sides, while Sayyidina Usama and Sayyidina Shakran radiallahu ta'ala poured the water. Thereafter he was shrouded in three suhul, a type of cotton cloths. It did not have a qamis or a head cloth. The shirt in which he was washed was taken off after that. The question of whether the burial should take place arose after the washing and the shrouding of the body. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala said, I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, a prophet is buried where he dies. Therefore, it was decided to move the bed and to dig the grave in that place. A disagreement, however, broke out regarding the type of grave that should be dug. The migrators opted to dig the Bagli grave as per the custom of the Makkah, while the harpers, as per Medinian way, wished to dig the Lahad grave. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala was skilled in digging the Bagli grave, whereas Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala was skilled in digging the Lahad grave. It was agreed that both men should be called for, and the one who arrives first will do the digging. It was Sayyidina Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala who came first to the scene, hence the Lahad grave for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was prepared. Janazah prayer. The blessed body remained at the spot where it drew its last breath. Those with blood relations, followed by the migrators, then the helpers, men, women and children, all without an imam leading them, performed the janazah prayer. 10 people at a time would enter the blessed room to perform the prayer, as the room was small. This process continued day and night, and thus the burial took place on Wednesday evening, almost 32 hours after the blessed demise. Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abbas and his two sons, Sayyidina Fadl and Sayyidina Qasam radiallahu ta'ala majma'in, lowered the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the grave. After this stage, they fashioned the soil on top of the grave in the shape of a hump and sprinkled water on it. After the companions completed burial proceedings, Sayyidina Fatima radiallahu ta'ala asked, O Anas, did you throw soil onto the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body happily? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala replied, upon seeing the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the blessed grave, the house became narrow on me despite its vastness. I was like a mad, frenzied lover. My bones were becoming weak and breaking. O Atiq, old man, shame on you. Your beloved is underneath the soil, and you have been left lonesome and weary. O my companion, shame. Oh, how I wish I had been lowered into the grave and covered with the bricks before you. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. A mere 2 1/4 years of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala's khilafat had lapsed, and in that short space of time, after having crushed the proclaimers of prophethood, apostates and deniers of zakat, new conquests had just commenced when death reached his door. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says that one day, when the climate was extremely cold, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala took a shower, after which he developed a fever that kept its severity continuously for 15 days. He was unable to attend the masjid during that prayer. Through his instruction, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala led the prayers in his absence, electing a successor. Now, with the illness increasing on every passing day and any hope of recovery diminishing, he called for the companion radiallahu ta'ala majma'in and consulted on his successor before putting forward Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's name. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala said, who would doubt Umar's competency? However, he is to an extent a very authoritarian person. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala then said, his internal state is better than his outward demeanor, in my opinion. Some companion radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in nevertheless deterred due to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's stern manner. Thus, Sayyidina Talha radiallahu ta'ala on his visit to see Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala protested, you intend to make Umar radiallahu ta'ala khalifa, yet he was so stern in your presence. Only Allah knows how he will conduct affairs in the future. We will have no choice but to soften down once the burden of successorship falls upon him, replied Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Another companion warned, "You are electing Umar as your successor despite familiarity with his authoritarian nature. Mull over it as you are set to meet Allah. What will you say there?" He replied, "I will say, O Allah, I have elected the finest from amongst your servants." He appeased everyone with that statement and called Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala to dictate his resolution in relation to his successor. Only a few words has been written when unconsciousness overtook him. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala added Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's name of his own. Upon regaining consciousness after a while, he asked Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala to read the resolution out loud, out to him. When Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala read it out, he instantly shouted, "Allah is the greatest," and said, "Allah reward you, you have written my exact wish." Upon its finalization, he gave it to his slave to read out publicly while he climbed to the upper floor and addressed those present, "I have not appointed my favorite or brother as Khalifa, rather I have chosen that person who is the finest from all of you." All those present affirmed, "We have heard and obeyed." And thereafter, he called Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and imparted to him extremely beneficial advices, which turned out to be excellent procedures for his successful period of successorship. Advices. Abdul Mali states, Rahmatullah Ali states, that Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala turned to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he said, "I advise you, should you wish to accept, that Allah has some rights pertaining to the night that He does not accept during the daytime. And He also has rights pertaining to the day that He does not accept during the night. Allah does not accept nafal acts until the performance of the obligatory. Those whose scales will be heavy on the day of judgment will be so because of their conformity to the truth, because of their sincerity to the truth. The truth was heavy on them, and it is a duty on the scales to become heavy when the truth is placed in it. And those whose scales will be light, it will be so because of their attachment, their affirmation to the falsehood. Hence, falsehood upon them in this world was a light matter, and as such it is a duty upon the scales to become light when falsehood is placed in it. Allah has mentioned the dwellers of paradise alongside their most noble deeds while overlooking their bad deeds. One then tends to say, "Neither can I be of their caliber nor can I reach their level." Likewise, Allah has mentioned the inhabitants of hell alongside their most contemptible deeds. Has thrown back at them their few good deeds and did not accept them. One then tends to say, "Neither am I of their caliber nor can I reach their level." Have you not contemplated how Allah has simultaneously revealed a verse containing reprimand and a verse that offers hope in various spaces, and how He has revealed a verse containing hope only to be followed by a verse that delivers a warning, so to embed into the servant a balance between hope and fear. This is to save him from self-destruction or over-relying without justification on Allah's mercy. No concealed thing will be more beloved to you than that should you heed my advices. It is destined to come. If you disregard my advices, then no concealed thing will be more detestable than death, and it will for sure arrive. You will not be able to escape it. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala addressed private and personal matters after fulfilling his duty. He had gifted Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha land in the environs of Medina Mirawara or Bahrain, but then thought that it violates the rights of other heirs. So he said, "O my beloved, whether it be doing indigence or rule, you have remained the most beloved to me. Will you, however, include your brothers and sisters in the piece of land I have given to you?" Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha gave assurances of this. So she advised regarding the debt of the house of wealth Yani Bayt al-Mal. He confirmed, "Besides one maid and two camels, nothing else is in my possession from the wealth of the Muslims. Have them sent to Umar as soon as death befalls me." They were all sent to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, he also said after burial proceedings, "Look out for anything else that may have been missed and hand it to Umar." The house was searched after the burial, but no such item was found in the house of Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Bidding farewell, Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala visited Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and said, "O Abu Bakr, advise me." He said, "Allah will conquer the world for you. Take from that only enough for the moment. Be warned, the person who offers the morning prayer is under Allah's promise. Let it not be that you breach this promise and it becomes a means of throwing you on your face in the fire of hell." Morning prayer, meaning Fajr. Sayyidina Musayyib rahimahullah alayhi says, as death closed in on Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Some companions came to him and said, O successor of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, grant us provision as we now see your complexion changing. He said, whoever dies uttering these words, Allah will send his soul to the bright horizon. The companions asked, what is the bright horizon? He replied, it is a plain before the throne of Allah that has gardens, rivers and trees. Allah's 100 mercies envelop it daily. One who utters these words, Allah will place his soul in this prescribed place. They are, O my Lord, you have created the creation from the beginning and you have no need for it. You then group them into two, one for paradise and other for hell. Make me from the dwellers of paradise and not hell. O my Lord, you have broken down the creation into many factions and have separated them before birth. Some you have made wretched and others you have made of good, saintly and guided. Make me righteous due to my actions and save me from the wretchedness resulting from my sins. O my Lord, that which every soul will amass, you have knowledge of it. Before it is even created, there is no getaway from his actions. Hence, make me from those whom you make subservient to you. O my Lord, no soul wishes for anything. Should you not wish for it, wish for me to develop a yearning for that which brings me closer to you. O my Lord, you are aware of the actions of man and that nothing moves but with your permission. So preordain my every movement in your fear. O my Lord, you are the creator of both good and bad, and I've created those who will perpetrate them both. Make me from amongst the superior from them. O my Lord, you are the creator of both heaven and hell, and I have made those who will inhabit them. Make me from amongst the dwellers of your paradise. O my Lord, you wish to give guidance to a community, so you opened their hearts, and you ordained for another community to go astray, so you made their hearts narrow. O my Lord, open my heart to accepting faith and let it flourish in my heart. Make me detest disbelief, adultery and disobedience and make me from amongst the pious. O my Lord, you have organized matters and their return is to you. Hence, resurrect me after death for a prosperous life in rank, grant me your closeness. O my Lord, that person who sees morning and evening in such a state that he puts his reliance and trust in no one other than you, then let it be so. But my reliance and trust remains in you only. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ There is no might to avoid disobeying Allah, no ability to obey Allah, only except with the help of Allah. Following this, he said, all of these themes are found in the Book of Allah. He said, regarding burial proceedings, wash the cloth that is on my body at the moment and use it as a shroud with other cloths. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha remarked, This is old and material for shrouding should be new. He replied, the living have more right than the dead do to don new clothes. This ripped old cloth will suffice me. Demise. As death approached, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha arrived and delivered the following poem. By your life when breathing becomes longer and the chest narrows, wealth is of no use to man. On hearing these words, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha removed the covering from his face and he said, do not say that, but rather say, لَكَدَ جَاءَتْ سَكَرَةَ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيبُ And the agony of death has come, for sure, that is what you were trying to escape. His daughter wept as death drew nearer, and he said, O daughter, don't cry, he said. If I don't shed tears because of your demise, then whose demise will bring tears to my eyes, she lamented. The extraction of my soul at this moment in time is more beloved to me than extracting anyone else's soul to the extent that the taking out the soul of a fly is not as beloved to me as taking out my own soul. Why do you cry so much when death is so beloved to me? However, I do fear losing hold of Islam at the time of death. He then asked, what day is it today? When it was told it was Monday, he asked, on what day did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pass away? On Monday, he was told, my desire then is to leave this transitory world by nighttime. His last wish was fulfilled in that at the end of Monday, into the night of Tuesday, towards the end of Jumada al-Thani, 13 after Hijri, age 63, he chose the path of the internal world. Surely, we belong to Allah and we shall return to Him. Burial and shrouding. As per his instructions, burial arrangements were made promptly at nighttime, and Sayyida Asma binti Umais radiallahu anha, his honorable wife, washed his body. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala led the janazah prayer, while Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Talha, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr, along with Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'im, lowered the body into the grave. in this way, the worldly companion of the leader of the universe, through burial rites beside him, reached paradise to attain his everlasting companionship. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, a fatal attack. On the journey back from his last pilgrimage, he raised his gaze towards the moon as he lay down with his blanket under his head in the valley of Muhassab. Adoring the moonlight, he said, "Look, it was faint in the beginning. It then grew gradually and became complete. It will begin to decrease again. Everything in this world follows this cycle." He went on to supplicate, "O Allah, my subjects have increased considerably and I have become very weak. Raise me from this world. If I fall, I fail in my duty as Khalifa." He then went to the masjid, as per routine, quite early one morning after returning to Madinah Munawwara. He was holding a whip in his hand which he used to wake people. He would order for the rows to be straightened upon reaching the masjid before leading the prayer, in which he would recite long recitations, any long surahs. He did the same on this particular day. He had started the prayer and pronounced the takbira tahreema Allahu Akbar, when a fire-worshipping disbeliever Abu Lu'lu, the slave of Sayyidina Mughira radiallahu ta'ala, who was sat hiding in the niche in the mihrab with a poisonous dagger, pounced and stabbed him in his blessed stomach 3 times. He fell to the ground unconscious. Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala moved forward and led the remainder of the prayer in his place in brief and concluded with salam. Abu Lu'lu'u thought of somehow fleeing from the masjid, but the rows of worshippers stood before him as a wall, thus penetrating them was not easy. He subsequently began to stab the worshippers, and a total of 13 companions radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in suffered wounds, from whom 7 did not recover. The prayer concluded at that point and Abu Lu'lu'u was arrested. Seeing that he has been arrested, he committed suicide with the same dagger. An incident of a gigantic proportions, yet not one companion broke off from his prayer. They completed the prayer with tranquility, and then some of them picked up Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and took him to his home. He regained consciousness a short while later and offered his fajr in that state. Killer. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala called Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and said, "Find out who wounded me." He went outside and afterwards returned and told him that the slave of Sayyidina Mughira radiallahu ta'ala was the perpetrator. He said, "May Allah destroy him. I had ordered in order to favor him. Thanks be to Allah for not arranging my debt at the hands of a Muslim. It is you and your father who wish for there to be abundance of disbelievers and foreigners in Madinah Munawwara." This was said because Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala had many slaves. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum suggested, "I will have them all killed if you so wish. Now you want them to kill when they speak your language, pray in the same direction as you, and perform pilgrimage in your company?" At the same time, the general public was in such a state that it was as though a calamity had never befallen them before that day. Everyone was voicing their opinion. Some feared he would die, while others allayed such fears. In the midst of all of this, grape juice was brought for him, but his stomach threw it back out as soon as he drank from it. Everyone became apprehensive and lost all hope of him recovering. Abu Lu'lu had once lodged a complaint in the court of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala saying, "My master has fixed a high levy on me. Decrease it for me." He asked him what the fixed rate was and what type of work he carried out. "I make millstones," he confirmed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala remarked, "No one else in the whole of Arabia takes this work. Therefore, the levy fixed upon you for this work is not excessive. Nonetheless, make one millstone for me as well." He said, "Verily, I will make such a millstone for you that the world will talk about it." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala said at that time, "Look, this slave is threatening to kill me." Someone said, "O leader of the believers, if you so order, then he will be arrested right away." He questioned, "Is he to be punished before the crime?" Abu Lu'lu'u made a dagger, which he, from then on, would dip into poison, and he became consumed in this thought. SubhanAllahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.